And this is 89.1 KUAR Little Rock. I'm Alexandra Brown. Right now, we'll be turning it over to the Arkansas State Capitol, where Governor Asa Hutchinson will be giving his live weekly press briefing on the coronavirus pandemic. And as we wait for the governor, I'll give yesterday's COVID-19 report. Arkansas's total number of active coronavirus cases has fallen by 69, while 64 more Arkansans have tested positive for COVID-19. The Arkansas Department of Health, the governor has now entered and will take the podium.
Thank you for joining me for today's weekly COVID-19 update. I'm joined by Dr. Jose Romero of our Secretary of Department of Health, as well as Colonel Robert Ader, and then Secretary Johnny Key. First, let me go quickly to our latest graph so you can see the numbers, and then I want to talk about those a little bit and where we are in Arkansas. And so first you can see right in the middle on the total cases, the change from yesterday, we have an increase of 229 cases of COVID-19. And this compares to a week ago of about 198 new cases on the same day. And obviously they go down the weekend, they go up during the week, more people are tested. The active cases are remaining fairly steady with an increase of 39. If you look up on the right side on the hospital data, you'll see that we've had a reduction in those hospitalized by 13. Yesterday they were up, which was a Monday. Today they are down. And so we are encouraged by the fact that our hospitalizations still remain low. And then if you look at the three leading counties, Benton County, Pulaski, and Washington County, are the three counties with 20 plus new COVID cases. Good news, of course, is that in our Department of Corrections, we've had zero new cases. And I want to applaud Secretary Solomon Graves and his team of the Department of Corrections for really having a good immunization program among the inmates and the staff. If you look at our testing, it's fairly consistent. It's at a low level. People who see a need, they get tested or they come back from traveling, but that has been fairly consistent at that lower level. If you look at our vaccinations, we've had 15,000 doses given. Now, you've got to remember that of the 15,000 shots in arms we did over the last 24 hours, many of those are second doses, and so you don't see the actual numbers go up as quickly as you would like, but we did get out 15,000 doses. We're continuing to receive doses from our allocation of 26,000. And then the total immunized, either partially or fully immunized, is 1,008,000. That's the number that we need to have go up in Arkansas. And then let me say a word about our J&J vaccine that went back in operation yesterday. If you go to the next graphic, we want to emphasize that we have vaccines available in Arkansas. The supply is not a problem. We have vaccines available right now, Pfizer 358,000, Moderna 288,000 in our inventory, and Janssen, which is the J&J 70,000. And I was informed, Colonel Ader, that in my White House call today, that we will be receiving an additional shipment of Janssen vaccine this week. And so that will increase those numbers. Vaccines are available for you. We need you to go to your doctor's office, go to a medical clinic, go to a pharmacy, wherever you feel most comfortable, and make arrangements to get your shot. And then you'll see the locations in Arkansas. And this is just on the Janssen vaccine that is available. You can see that it's available around the state. And of course, the other vaccines are available in those locations as well. So it's plentiful in terms of pharmacies, providers, and other federal entities as well that has access to it. And then I believe there's one more here. This is just to show where we are in our trend line in Arkansas. And you can see that since March 8th, we have been steady, not going up, but steady week by week, day by day. We watch that very carefully, and We do not want to be a Michigan. We do not want to see an acceleration of those cases. And so we continue to either get vaccinated or take the precautions that to protect you from the spread of COVID-19. And then finally, this is the hospitalizations. You can see we've remained steady there, a little bit down. It's hard to get it down from the numbers we are in now. I'd like to see it even down lower. I'd like to see our cases down lower. It's hard, but we're not going up. And so with that, before I turn over to Dr. Romero, let me just emphasize a couple points. Obviously, we have a challenge with vaccine hesitancy. And I think that hesitancy in Arkansas is partly because of the threat is perceived as being down. As new cases go down, hospitalizations go down, as you see people relaxing and trying to lead a more normal life, the threat is not with us every day. And so the urgency of getting a vaccine has been diminished. We want to, in a realistic way, continue to encourage people to get the vaccine as to how important it is. And so where do we go as a state? And my conversations with Dr. Romero and Colonel Ader and the team, and we're going to utilize a broader group just to visualize and try to come up with unique ways to encourage people to get vaccine. We want to call upon our employers to provide leadership. They've done a good job, but we want you to continue in the fight. We want you to provide time off as necessary for an employee to get the vaccine. We want you to provide education to the workers as to the importance of it, and then give them access to it. Either bring a clinic to your work site for the easy vaccination of workers, or to give them opportunity to go to a local pharmacy and get the vaccination. We need employer leadership as we fight this battle. Secondly, we want to continue to rely upon physicians and our outpatient clinics. They have a growing supply of vaccines. They are a trusted provider. That's who the patient is used to going to, and they will be there to guide whoever their patient is to the right place to get the vaccine. And then I've challenged the Department of Health and to make sure that the vaccine is accessible to harder to reach populations. And so that's part of our emphasis on equity, but it's also just simply what it's going to take to get from 40% vaccination rate up to 60%. We've got to get it out there as easy as possible for people to get the vaccine. I'd like to see a vaccine clinic made available at a Travelers baseball game. I would like to see it at the malls that are available. I would like to see it more available to schools, and challenged Secretary Key to continue to encourage our schools to vaccinate 16 plus, and soon it will be even down from there age-wise. This is what we're going to have to do. Communities need to engage, employers, physicians, the healthcare industry, as well as our education, to make the vaccine as accessible as possible, where they're going somewhere, oh, I can stop over here and get a vaccine. That's what we're going to have to do, and we all need to pull together to increase these numbers. And then on the alert side of this, so that we don't get too casual about our approach to COVID-19, I think Dr. Romero has some information to provide.
Health Secretary Dr. Jose Romero will now take the podium.
Would you like some water? Why don't you stay inside? I'm gonna have Secretary Key, would you come? I'm not going to have you scare them, but I want you to tell them about what's going on in school.
Thank you.
Education Secretary Johnny Key will now take the podium instead.
Okay, Doc. Okay, all right. We are within just a few days of entering the last month of school. And I just, again, will say how proud I am of educators and administrators around the state of Arkansas for having a successful school year. We are right now continuing with our ACT Aspire assessment process. We are over 75% at this point of all the assessments that we expected to be given have been given. And so we are ahead of schedule there as well. We are seeing, again, a low number of cases in our schools. I think we have had just one school within the last week that had to shift to any type of modification of on-site instruction because of COVID exposure. But that has continued to be, and we anticipate will continue to be low. We are having proms, all right? So I do want to encourage our districts that are having prom and graduation activities to continue their diligence. We want to finish this school year as well as we have completed up to this point. And while some of the restrictions have been relaxed, we would encourage our districts to continue to keep those requirement or those admonitions in mind as they have these year-end activities, not just graduations, not just proms, but the activities that typically happen with their younger students as well, the assemblies, awards programs, and things of that nature. We encourage you to stay safe with all the precautions that the Health Department and the Department of Education have encouraged throughout the year.
Health
Thank
Secretary
you,
Dr.
Thank
Jose
you,
Romero.
Secretary, for buying me some time and forgive me for the coughing fit. I'm not sure why that happened. As the governor said, I did want to bring some information to your attention and really to highlight why we need to become vaccinated and do it as soon as possible. So our number of isolates for variants has increased dramatically in the last week, particularly in the UK variant. We have had a threefold increase in the number of isolates, and our total isolates in the state have more than doubled. So these are here, as we have said over and over again. They're becoming more prevalent in our ability to isolate them and find them. And this is only the tip of the iceberg, because we're only sequencing a small, very, very small minority of the number of people that are sick. So it's here. We expect to see more. These isolates, especially the UK variant, we know is more transmissible and is associated with more mortality and morbidity. We also know that in states where this is already a problem, we're seeing more children being hospitalized and with severe disease than we had in the past. So again, we need to bring this under control. The more people that are unimmunized, the more there is a chance for this virus to spread and to continue to mutate. So we could see newer variants if we have large enough population of individuals not vaccinated. Next, I want to turn my attention to the Janssen vaccine. So as you all know, last week, the CDC advisory committee met to review the literature and the information on these vaccines to see if they were still safe to use and how to use them. So a total of 15 cases of this clotting disorder with low platelets was identified. It was studied very carefully as to the incidence, and it was determined that the risk-benefit ratio, that is, the benefit as opposed to the risk, far outweighs the use of the vaccine. The adverse event, this occurrence of clotting, occurs so infrequently, rarely, very, very rarely, that it is safe to use the vaccine. Now, there are alternative vaccines for people that don't want to take that risk. We in the health department will make that alternative vaccines available at sites where we're using the Janssen vaccine. But the Janssen vaccine is safe, it's effective, and it is a one-time vaccine, so keep that in mind. And I encourage you all to get vaccinated with whatever vaccine you feel comfortable with, but please take advantage of that. Thank you very much. Go ahead.
With that, be happy to take any questions.
Do you have a goal for the percentage of the state that you'd like to see vaccinated and a timeline for when you want to get there?
Of course, the epidemiologists, the experts say we'd need to get to 70% or above to have herd immunity. It's going to be a challenge for us to get there in the short term. I think that's a longer term project to get there, which will probably go into the fall. We don't have a specific timeline other than as soon as possible. We want to urge everybody to get the vaccination, and since it's available, there's not any real reason we can't get to a 70% level within a matter of 3 months, but that is all dependent upon the willingness of citizens of Arkansas to get the vaccination.
So you said there was lower level testing. Do you think that Arkansans are just not getting tested even if they are sick, especially with these variants that are now in the state?
Yes. Well, no, I think that if they're ill, they'll get tested. Sometimes if they get ill, they just go in the hospital because we've been around this enough, we know what the challenge is. But in the early days of the pandemic and when we really started ramping up our testing, people were getting tested because they wanted to be assured that they did not have COVID. Or they might have traveled and a lot of different reasons, or they just want to know that they're safe. And so that gave us a higher number. And the longer we've lived with this COVID, those level of concerns have diminished. And so I just don't see the same demand. And I think it's largely because they don't feel daily threatened by it. But they'll go in and get tested if they have a particular bad feeling or ill, or they have some other compelling reason to.
15 on the vaccine passport has been passed by the legislature. You plan to sign that?
The vaccine passport only applies to government. I believe that's correct. So I have it, and it prohibits the requirement for the somebody to be vaccinated in terms of travel. That's something I've generally been supportive of, so I'll look at that, but I haven't made a final decision, so I haven't been on my desk a sufficient amount of time. We can go remotely. Are there any questions? Mike?
Are these people that were eligible for the vaccine and just didn't end up getting it?
I'm sorry, repeat that question.
The people that are being hospitalized right now, are these people that did not get the vaccine even though they were eligible?
Correct. You're looking at people who have not received the vaccine for whatever reason, and they're contracting COVID-19, and they're going to the hospital, and they're putting themselves at risk because they didn't get the vaccine. Dr. Romero, do you have a comment on that?
Health Secretary Dr. Jose Romero, back to the podium.
So although we can't give you specifics as to the percentage that did not receive the vaccine, we can tell you this, that the vaccine is 90% effective in preventing hospitalizations or better in death, and that breakthroughs that for individuals that receive the vaccine and then get sick are exceedingly low. It's far, far less than 1%. So these are individuals that have not received the vaccine and are becoming infected and sick with COVID.
All right, Mike Wickline at the table here.
Anyhow, there's, I guess, dueling new gun bills. Stubblefield has a 717 and Wardlaw has a 1957. Are you okay with both of the bills, or?
I would not sign off on both the bills. Leave it to the legislature, except we've got to have a bill that does not do harm. All the bills that are out there right now are extreme in this sense that they repudiate very portions of federal law. They send a very strong signal as the protection of our Second Amendment. But what I'm looking at is, are they doing harm to law enforcement and public safety? So, you know, obviously the one that Representative Wardlaw has worked on has protections for law enforcement and to make sure that we can continue the important public safety partnerships that we've had in the past. That meets that criteria, but I want to leave it to the General Assembly to see whether they can get that passed and do no harm to law enforcement, which is my goal. Did I miss anybody else remotely? I think that one came in. Was that anything else?
Yes, good afternoon. It's Brett Raines with 4029 News. Quickly, your reaction to the announcement from the CDC today regarding face masks, some people being allowed to not wear them when you're vaccinated, but then also we know that there's always the people have scoffed at the idea of being vaccinated and still being asked to wear a face mask when outdoors around other people. Quickly address those 2 points, please. Thank you.
Well, there's in Arkansas, we've been ahead of the CDC's guidelines. The CDC, what they announced today for outdoors, not a requirement to wear a mask. We've done away with our mask mandate in Arkansas, which applies outdoors for over a month now. And so there's not anyone that's outside that should be under requirement to wear a mask unless it's private property or a private business. And that's the prerogative of the business to make that requirement. And so we're pretty clear in Arkansas that we don't have a mask mandate. Some cities still do that are in place, and that's their prerogative currently. There's a law that would take that away from them, but we're on a different page than the CDC in terms of our requirements in reference to masks, which have been lifted in the state. Any other questions?
Governor, this is Josh. Yes, sir. This is Josh White with KEIT in Jonesboro.
Yes.
I just want to talk about you. You touched on some of the bills coming out of the legislature. If overarching, are you happy with the kind of bills that are coming out? Because you've vetoed more than you have in previous years so far this year.
The answer is, I think we've had a very good session. You look at the bills that have come out from raising teacher salary to improving computer science education to increasing our surplus. We got a great budget that's been approved today. So absolutely, you know, the bills that are coming out of the legislature are moving our state forward. Now, there's some that create more controversy than others. I've stated that in various ways that we need to slow that down. I've expressed on three occasions now a veto this session. So three vetoes out of probably over 1,000 bills is not a bad batting percentage for the General Assembly. And I do appreciate them taking my veto seriously and causing it to slow down and saying, how can we do this better? Yes, ma'am.
How hopeful are you that with the resuming the Johnson & Johnson vaccine and bringing more of those doses into the state, that it will cut down on the risk of Arkansans not getting that second shot with Pfizer and Moderna?
Well, that's the beautiful thing about the Janssen or J&J vaccine is that it's one shot, one and done, as they say. And the pause was regretful in the sense that we had a number of advertising campaigns. The employers loved it because, you know, the workers could take one shot, be safe, and it's effective, and they don't have to worry about that follow-up. And then it's also so useful to our, whether it's a homeless population or others that are harder to get to, that is the tool that was uniquely capable of reaching those. So I'm glad it's back. We want to make sure we push that vaccine out to those populations because it will help us a great deal in getting those covered. So I'm optimistic about it. We just want everybody to feel safe and understand the availability of it.
And with your push to try to get the vaccine into the harder reached parts of Arkansas, the rural areas, are you trying to push the Johnson & Johnson vaccine to those areas because they're hard to reach to begin with?
Well, we're doing it with, and of course, the Moderna vaccine and the Pfizer vaccine are available in those communities as well. And so in every rural part of Arkansas, you do have access to really three vaccines now. There's, as you can see from the inventory, there's a greater supply and inventory of Pfizer and Moderna, but they will make up for the J&J vaccine very shortly. We're going to have some more come this week, but as soon as the Baltimore factory gets back online, I expect to have a large quantity of the J&J vaccine. So, you know, if you're a worker that's out there, they're asking for the Janssen vaccine because it is one shot, it is finished. And so all three are available in the rural communities, but from a Department of Health standpoint, we look at that Janssen vaccine as uniquely capable to get into some of the hard-to-reach populations. Did you, good. Colonel, do you have anything else on that?
No, sir, not really the...
Go, come up.
Colonel Robert Ader.
Very simply, that the governor has it absolutely correct. We have about 70,000 doses that are in the state. We use the Janssen to hit our transitory populations. We have enough to last us for a while to let the production pick back up. But there is vaccine of all three types in every county in the state of Arkansas. And the reason why we do that is the unique storage requirements of the Pfizer. It makes it a little bit of a challenge in the more rural parts of the state. But we need that vaccine there to be able to get to that 16 and above population and hopefully real soon that 12 and above population. So every county has all three types of vaccine in its borders.
More available in more places. So in order to do that, do you need to just enroll more providers, or how are you going to accomplish that, making it more available in more places?
Well, I sort of outlined three points of emphasis that we want to concentrate upon, which is the employers, which is the physician and clinics, and which is the improving the access at venues in which people are going regularly for shopping or for entertainment. So we want to be creative in all of those, encourage our communities to be creative as well. I think that is the key for it. What did I miss there? Did I cover it? Or?
You're talking about increasing access. Is that something the health department is going to be doing, or how are you going to increase the access?
Well, for example, right now in physician offices, we have about 40 that are providers in Arkansas that have access to it. Now, the challenge in a physician's office is that you might not be able to get out 100 doses in a week. And so Colonel Ader is setting up a system where they can be supplied on a more regular basis based upon the need that they have. So we have to improve their access, but also the efficiency of it to make sure the vaccines are not wasted. And as been pointed out, it's likely that some of those vaccines are going to be wasted if a vial is opened up in a physician's office. You don't have six people lined up to take the vaccine. So we've got to be efficient about that. So we're working on that because we realize they're the most trusted provider, that people feel comfortable going to their physician, listening to their advice, and getting the vaccine there. I want to continue to emphasize the great work that the pharmacies are doing. They've been on the front line. They're going to continue to because people are used to going to their pharmacy. They have clinics, and they're really working hard to expand their ability to vaccinate those in the community. So all of these are critical partners for us as we try to push the access and the willingness to accept it. All right, is there a final question?
Hey, Governor, this is Andrew Epperson from KNWA News up in Fayetteville. Fayetteville City Council tonight will look at a resolution reiterating the city's support for trans citizens and visitors. And the resolution is sponsored by the mayor, and city attorney wrote a letter about this as well. You may have seen it. I was just wondering what your thoughts were on that.
I haven't read the resolution, so if it's simply expressing support, well, obviously we want to support any part of our community, and they are part of our diversity. So I'd have to look at the specific language, but that sounds like something that any city ought to be able to express their support for if they wish to. With that, thank you for your attention to this today. And with that, have a good afternoon.
This is 89.1 KUAR Little Rock. I'm Alexandria Brown. Governor Asa Hutchinson just got done wrapping up his weekly live press briefing at the Arkansas State Capitol on the coronavirus pandemic. Just to give a recap of what was said, Arkansas reported 5 more deaths from COVID-19 today. Hospitalizations declined by 13, and there are 229 new cases of the virus. He says testing has been consistent as well. He emphasized vaccine supply is not a problem. On the phone with the White House Coronavirus Task Force, he revealed an additional shipment of the Janssen vaccine will be given to the state this week, which Health Secretary Dr. Jose Romero did try to assure people that it is effective and it is safe. The governor also did address vaccine hesitancy and said that the urgency of getting the vaccine has diminished in his state. So he called upon employers, physicians, the Department of Health, and outpatient clinics to encourage workers and people to get the vaccine and to educate and give them access to it. He did touch a little on the Arkansas legislative session, which will have its final meeting today until they meet back again in the fall. He said he is proud of the bills that have come out of the session and moving the state forward, but he did mention there are some bills that have created controversy throughout the session as well. And Health Secretary Jose Romero said the number of variants and isolates have increased by more than double in the state, particularly with the UK variants. He says this variant is more transmissible and more children have been becoming hospitalized because of it. Romero did say that there could be more variants in the state if people don't get vaccinated as well. And just to give a recap of today's COVID-19 report, Arkansas reported 5 more additional deaths of COVID-19, hospitalizations declined by 13, and there are 229 new cases of the virus. You're listening to 89.1 KUAR. We will now resume to Here and Now, that's already in progress.